Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we look forward to a soon coming king. How many of us know what Oria was talking about? About a thing that she, the item she wanted to buy. Do we even know what it was? Because Sam, meanwhile, George is not pastor yet. He's still engineer Sam Isoke, my lovely husband. So some people call him Minister Sam, others call him Mr. Sam. I don't even know how that started. But yes, how many of us know what Oria was talking about? You really glossed over the girl's testimony. This is not right. How many of us know the item she was talking about? Besides George and the father and Matthew and the rest are ladies, most of you do not know. Do you know what she was talking about? You know, he's answering like so. You know, do you know what she was talking about? She was talking about the Stanley. So a Stanley is a cup. It's a very big cup. And it was a trending cup. Maybe it still is. That's why she likes it. I almost got one for myself until I saw a meme where a lady apparently they were saying that ladies, it's like as if we drink out of those huge KCC dust bins. So someone drew this thing and they were trying to say that is the Stanley. So they drew this thing like that huge KCCA dust bin that you see that is even put in Uganda. We're the only ones who use a chain to tie a dustbin to a pole. Have you seen them? Yes, and by the pole will be taken, or the chain, or everything. You just don't even know what Uganda, we need what? We need prayers. But we thank God that you got the Stanley that you like. I think they are really cute. I still don't have the confidence to walk around with it. Hallelujah. But I'm glad that Oria is going to live that life for me. Amen? Glory to God. But they really look good and swanky. Yes, so I'd like to also thank you guys for worshiping. Let us appreciate our worship team once again. Thank you so much. Any first-time returning visitors in our midst? Is there anybody, first-time visitor? Oh, you're very welcome. Yes, please clap for her stand. Let us clap for you. We are a small church. We love people. Please stand up and we clap for you. Yes. You're very, very welcome. I don't know who invited you, but this is Last Adam Tabernacle. We meet here every Sunday at 10:30 and Thursday at 5:30. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm going to start from Bob's dream about the rapture. And I'm also going to start from the very last thing that we say in our DNA. We look forward to our soon coming king. As Bob was sharing his dream, I was like, why wasn't Bob looking forward to the soon coming king? Why were you scattering? However, we look forward to our soon coming king, and the rapture is not only sure, like, so it's not imminent, but it is sure. It is coming. Glory to God. But the issue is, or the most important thing is, ask yourself, am I going in the rapture? Yeah? Are you? Or you're going to be left behind? Yeah, you don't want to be left behind. And as I sit there, I just kept on also remembering, just think about the message for today, which I have been preaching in the last 2 weeks, which is spreading the gospel. For people who are really looking forward to the return of a soon coming king, the Great Commission becomes urgent. Hallelujah. The Great Commission becomes what? Very, very urgent. We were not there in Bob's dream, but I imagine from the way a man is talking, he is shaken because of what he had in the dream, what he saw in the dream. But in real life, it is probably worse than that, okay? But the point here is, if we are really looking forward to our soon coming king as a church, then we should take the Great Commission or our assignment to preach the gospel seriously. Because you don't want people to be left behind. You don't want people, your family members, to be left behind. You don't want your friends to be left behind. You know? So, last week, let's just have a little or small recap of what we talked about last week for the benefit of the people who are not here. So, last week, we talked about the fact that I preached from Matthew 26:18, and we really talked about what the gospel is, basing on the commandment we were given. And we also reminded last week that the Great Commission is not a suggestion, it is a command. Why? Because it starts by saying, from 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, the disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we were reminded last week that the Great Commission is not a suggestion. Jesus wasn't suggesting to his disciples to go and preach the gospel, to go and make disciples of all nations. And we say the gospel is really basically good news. And when we are talking to people who are not born again, we have to address three things: the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the good thing is that last week also, Pastor concluded that by also reminding us about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and heaven and hell, the judgment. And so when we are preaching the gospel, we have to remember these four things: that there was a problem when someone comes to you, or when you interface with someone who is not born again. Where do you start from? How do you start? How do you make sure that this gospel reaches them? One, you have that gospel addresses the problem where humanity sinned. And then number two, it also talks about the solution that God provided for this problem, which is Jesus Christ as a sacrifice who died and rose from the dead. This is where the resurrection is key. And what is our response? What should be the response when we reach out to people? What should you tell them after you've given them those facts? It is to repent and they put their faith in Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness and eternal life. And of course, the outcome of what they have done is sure eternal life and a relationship with God. Hallelujah. And to add, to just tie that to what Pastor concluded with, is the fact that Jesus Christ will call us to account. There is a day of judgment where we know if we are going to spend eternity in hell or heaven with him. Glory to God. So there is even the life after the resurrection. And then we also say that the gospel is very powerful, and we do not have to add anything to it. We don't have to subtract anything. Because Paul said that the gospel, he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then the Greek. So when we are presenting the gospel to people, don't present it like it does not have power. And you present, when you're talking about your financial principles and motivational quotes, it seems like those ones are more powerful than actually the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So whatever you believe about your shrink, the monk, all those, the motivational speakers and what they tell you, and you take it to heart, let me tell you something. The gospel is more powerful than any of those things that have ever been spoken. And so when we are presenting it, let's not present it with shame, with fear. The gospel is self-sufficient. Glory to God. It will, and also the Bible says, Jesus says that he'll be with us till the end of the age. And this means that when we present the gospel, it is not your place to transform someone's heart. Your place is just to be the carrier of the message. Your place, yegwe, what they call it in Luganda and Tumwaya, you are the messenger. So that is why when someone refuses to get born again the first time, it's fine. You have done your part, because the issue, the whole thing of getting born again sometimes takes time. Not every time you preach the gospel, you share a message, it will end into salvation or an altar call. Hallelujah. Then we also say that we have to make disciples of nations. And a disciple is an imitator, a follower. It is that monkey see, monkey do person. All of you here are monkey see, monkey do people. And so we have to make other people like that. Hallelujah, when it comes to Jesus Christ. And so, a disciple is, we have to, beyond soul winning, we have to make disciples. And how do we make disciples? It's by the things that we say, by the things that we do, our conduct. This is where the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes in. Glory to God. So today, we are going to talk about the very last parts of this, of our text, and that is chapter verse 20, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. So today we are going to talk about from the part of baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that Jesus commanded us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So after we have preached the message, just like all of us here, it took us a place. It took us, we had to go through transformation to be even in church today. Hallelujah. The very first time, maybe you heard the gospel, you gave your life to Christ. That's good. But you had to go a certain, you had to go through a certain teaching. You had to go through a transformation. That teaching caused transformation in your heart that really made you the monkey see, monkey do, really made you the imitator of Jesus Christ. And that is what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to make the disciples. The Great Commission does not only end on soul winning. Hallelujah. It does not only end on posting that scripture on social media or on your status. Like I have been telling you, I'm making the case. Just post, put something on social media. Just say something about the God you believe. Just say something about the good news. And specifically, when I was saying that we post something, Banange, don't post a cryptic, all those very deep mysteries on the status. Banange, what I meant by posting, I saw some people. I'm like, but this elite of ours, yeah? Kati, you're here posting deep things. For 2 weeks, I've been telling you, post good news. Jesus Christ came. He died for you. He died for you, took your place. He was crucified, died, and resurrected. Talk about just the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 is sufficient. But now let me tell you the things to post. John 3:16. Kwanga, I saw some statuses, and even I, the pastor, was lost. I needed deep revelation. And I'm like, okay, we understand, but now... Good news is really, I told you there were simple things. Jesus Christ died and he lived this kind of life. He resurrected. He died in your place. That is all I asked us to watch, to post. But locally, I think, but from what we, looking at what was done this week, and from where we started from last week, where even people didn't post, I am even grateful to God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Yes, I am grateful to God that even people posted deep what? Deep verses. Because last week there was even nothing. There were like two people who put up their hands. When I asked how many posted, anything to do with what I preached. But now you have to make us trend. Glory to God. If you can't make Joanne trend, okay, I may not give you following or whatever that you're looking for. But Jesus will make you trend in the Christian circles. Glory to God. Yes, so your post, Jesus is the biggest, like, if you ever want to trend, by the way, Jesus is the free ride on Jesus, the biggest, biggest, most popular personality that ever walked on earth. So you want to get a following. You want people to look at what you're posting. Tandiko posting Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I remember, Paul says that some people preach Jesus Christ out of envy. But Paul had reached a point where he said it doesn't matter. Let them preach him. If it is envy, as long as they do not change the message. So now, guys, just post. If you want business, Christian businessmen to look at your statuses, post. Mark, if you want to look a certain way to some people in the establishment, Mark Namanya, post. Yeah, post about what? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So anyway, so we are saying that Saul, the Great Commission does not end with soul winning. The Bible clearly says that we should go ahead and get these people baptized. Hallelujah. Now this is where now soul winning hits the what? Yeah, now it becomes hard because you have to explain baptism, baptizo. Knowing how some people do it, knowing that some people don't even believe in it, knowing that some people think that baptism is the same as christening or giving your child a name, I do not know, yeah? But we here in LAT, and this is our stand concerning this, and it's biblical, that baptism just means baptizo, which is immersion in water, being submerged. In what? Water, not anything else, but being submerged in what? In water. And this is a very physical action that has spiritual symbolism. Glory to God. I was so glad last week when I think one of our children got baptized. I was really, really, I think it was Christina. Yeah, Christina asked to be baptized, right? She was last week or the other week, yes. So I'm really grateful that at least adults, is everyone in this church, LAT, baptized by immersion? Temunswaza, don't even put up your hands. Just think about it. Because last time I got embarrassed when I asked, I died in my movie when I asked. So, just if you are not baptized and you are here, if you are not baptized and you are here, as an adult, please go talk to Mark. If you fear to be baptized here, that we shall see you. Yeah? We can make arrangements to go in another water body. You can even go. Let me tell you, on me, if you want the lake, on me and Mark, we shall go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mark has refused. Mark has said we get baptized from here. He has refused. Yeah. But the point is, if you're an adult and you are not yet baptized by immersion, this is a very, very critical thing. So it's a physical act that has spiritual implications. And maybe as LAT, we shall not take you to the beach, but we shall do the baptism from here. So what does it mean for us to get baptized? My son came and asked me, can you get baptized? We told him, you have some more years. Just give it just some more years. But now I'm going to explain to other people. Ori, are you baptized? Okay. So baptism simply means, baptism by immersion, simply means when they submerge you in the water, it is a symbol for dying with Christ. And when you come back, that when you're gotten out of the water or when you come out from the water, it means that you are rising with Christ. Now, the water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, this is a physical action that has spiritual symbolism. And it simply means the regeneration of your spirit. When you get born again, the spirit is not, it's not changed a little bit. It is actually the sin is taken away totally and your spirit becomes new. So it is not, it's a proper swapping of spirits. Glory to God. Because it's not just a change. It's not a cosmetic change. I want you to know that there is a regeneration and Christianity, Christ Jesus is the only one that gives that. When we come to Christ Jesus, he's the only one who actually is able to change spirits. Anything other than that is not Christian. It's not Christianity. It is not of Christ. Glory to God. So that is why being born again is not a change of habits. It is not a change of character. It is a change of spirit. Glory to God. I hope that is clear. Being born again doesn't mean that you change habits, that you change your character. And this is why, when we are talking to people, you're going to realize that there are people who are actually good. They have a better character than you. They tend to exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But okay, they don't have the Holy Spirit. But they tend to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. But it is not that. The people are actually good people. And when you go to them and you say, stop stealing, they'll say, I don't steal. Case in point, the rich young ruler. He wasn't stealing. He wasn't doing anything bad. But he failed to put his trust in Christ. Glory to God. So, being born again is a transform. It's a change. It is a regeneration. The old is done away with and the new comes. Hallelujah. So when we die, when we get baptized in water, when we get submerged in the water, we are essentially doing what happens in our spirits. We are doing it physically. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that is what we are supposed to do. When we are discipling people, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you see the Trinity. And we say that every believer must be baptized. And why is it that every believer has to be baptized? In some churches, they say it's a sacrament. Yeah? Sacrament. I remember Sam Kasongo, the guy was saying sacramento for matrimonial. Yeah. Anyway, so why did Jesus tell us to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? He gives it to us as one of the things we have to do, part of the assignment. Why? Why is it that? This is not, and remember, we are not talking about a suggestion. It's a command. So why is he saying that abantu babatiziwenga, we should submerge them in water? And this is why baptism shouldn't be taken lightly. And as in our church, we wait and we have to explain these things to people to understand them because it is very serious. And should you be here and you are baptized gatobitegera, again, Mark is there for us. Glory to God. Amen. Mark will help us on that one. But why did Jesus want all believers, all the disciples, people who are like him to be baptized? One, it's for them to identify with him because also he got baptized. So this is the way we identify with Christ Jesus. There is no any other person in the Bible by whom people were getting baptized. There was no one, only Jesus Christ. So one of the outward signs for the reasons why people should get baptized is the identity now. You're saying that my identity has changed. Yes, there was a change, a regeneration of my spirit, but now I'm no longer of that. And now I identify with Christ Jesus. So for the sake of identity, Christ wanted us to make sure that we are all baptized, even the disciples that we are making. Glory to God. Then also, we do not baptize people into our church. That is very key. Because out there you hear things like, come and get baptized, and when you get baptized, you become a member of a certain church. Baptism does not give you membership in a church. Hallelujah. And these are things we should tell people. Sometimes when you go to get married in some churches, they will ask you about the baptism. They will ask you, as one of the things that identify you as a member of the church. But here, maybe of the church, I would like to think it should not be a member of a physical church, but rather the church as in the body of Christ. Glory to God. And I would like to think that that is why some people ask for these things. Are you a member of the church, meaning a member of the body of Christ, not a physical church that meets somewhere in Ntinda? So when we get baptized, the reason why Jesus told us, commanded us to get baptized and to baptize people, is that they identify as a member of the body of Christ. That is key. First is your personal identity. Two, that you belong to the body of Christ. Amen. Galatians 3:27-28. Paul here said, for as many of as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. This here Paul was talking about, this baptism I'm talking about. So here it could even go as many of you were submerged into water, into Jesus Christ, have put on Christ, again, identity. And then it goes on to say, now there is neither, you see now we are talking about the body of Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, all of us. There is nothing like in the body of Christ, when we get baptized, there is nothing like man, female, president, secretary, slave, servant. All those things are not there. We become a member of this one body by virtue of our what? Of our baptism. Glory to God. So now, again, I hope we have understood that what Jesus meant, why he wanted us to get baptized and why he wanted us to make disciples and baptize the disciples. And so now we go back to Matthew 28:19. Yes. So I've talked about the baptism. I don't really want to go into the details because this is a sermon. It's really not a teaching on this. Yeah. So now verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. We're going to talk about the second bit, which is teaching them to observe all things. What does it mean to teach? And what things are we observing? Okay? Teaching simply means give instruction and explain. It's important. In our charismatic Pentecostal churches, I've realized that people are no longer teaching. They're no longer instructing. They're no longer explaining things. We are doing other things. We are no longer teaching people. We are on Chitole, we are on what? People cannot explain the reason for their faith. Bali kubidala. And also maybe because Christians do not want to learn anymore. But Jesus Christ told us we have to teach people. Glory to God. We have to teach people. We have to teach the heathen. We have to teach these people who we are. Who we won, soul winning, yeah, who have now converted. We have to teach them. And then he told us, what are we teaching them? The things he commanded us. Glory to God. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So here, when we are teaching people as Christians, Banange, don't look elsewhere. We have a manual. Glory to God. We have the scad. It is the Bible. Do not teach from any other book that is not the Bible. People have written bestsellers, beautiful, wonderful books. I read them. They are good. But when it comes to soul conversion, when it comes to teaching, sitting down and seriously discipling someone, use the Bible. It is always better to use the what? The Bible. Hallelujah. Yes, it is always better to use the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Because the reason why we have to use the Bible is the Bible has the whole counsel of God. Imagine you're teaching, you're discipling someone in a certain book that is saying about prosperity. How are they going to know about prayer, fasting? How are they going to know about other disciplines in the Christian life? It's always good to go by the Bible. So 2 Timothy 3:16, this is what the Bible tells us, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. And now this means if we are going to teach the Bible, brothers and sisters, we must read the Bible. We must read the Bible. Did you know, it happened to me some time back when I stopped, okay, this is just a side note, when I stopped, for a long time I would just, you know, swipe through my smart Bible on the phone. Do you know, I soon forgot where some books were in the hard manuscript. Yes. Then one day, you know what made me realize that I had forgotten? I was told to open, I was looking for Ezra, the book of Ezra. Do you know where I went? Towards the end. Kumbe Ezra is just after Chronicles. Can you imagine? Many of you didn't even know that. The book of Ezra is just after Chronicles. I was like, oh my God. Why? Because I think, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, small prophet must be towards the minor prophets. You know those things that we think? But if I told us by, I know, I think the children know the songs of where, you know, how the books of the Bible go, yeah? But there are adults here. If I just told you, open Jude. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I even, when Pastor displays a scripture and I'm seated behind there, yeah? I see where people are starting from. And I'm like, you know what? I just want to remind you that you have the table of contents. Tewe swaza mkulumu nange. Just got the table of contents and reach. You know those things? And then there are people, you know, there are people when they are teaching, this is why I think it's really, really important to teach from the Word of God. We have really forgotten the manuscript. This Bible, these hardcover Bibles. And there is a time I was listening to someone who was, I'm really interested in AI and where AI is taking us. And I know that youths right now, everything, you go to AI, ChatGPT, Grok, all those AI search engines and whatever. And someone was saying that, I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory or not, but I think Mrs. Mujimba will help me, Engineer Mujimba. They seem to say that the people even who came up with AI had an idea where they wanted to erase human footprint and that they give all our information to machines and now machines begin to rule us. Meaning that slowly by slowly, because we are in a generation where people don't want to read hard covers like these, we want to swipe everything. So slowly by slowly, in very subtle ways, the history is being replaced by AI and information that is false. So this person had really done a lot of studies and research, a professor, on the Holocaust. And he went to AI and typed in some facts about the Holocaust. And guess what? AI was giving wrong information. And the guy said, but no, the book says this. And then there was a back and forth. I think this person was, he was using something called Grok. And there was back and forth. And he was challenging this engine and saying, but no, this book said this. And he cited the writers. And he cited the sources of the information. And eventually, the guy wins the war. And Grok says, thank you so much for giving us information. As a search engine, we do not want to make sure that we don't want to compromise any information. So we are going to update. We are going to add this to the body of information. So you think ChatGPT knows everything? It doesn't. The other day, I read something someone posted on a WhatsApp group about ChatGPT therapy, AI therapy. Can you imagine? Now people are turning to AI for therapy. You're not going to a human being to tell them your problems. They are therapy. They are AI journals. AI journals. You write something. Today I'm feeling low. Even then it says, then you get feedback. Sorry, how can I help you today? Then he said, so and so did this. What? I think you should do this and this and this. You can confide in me. They are AI journals. Remember those journals we used to write, AI diaries. That our diaries never, the hardcover diaries never interacted with us. But now you have a diary or a journal that interacts with you. So instead of going out and looking for a fellow man, iron sharpens iron, for you as a man, you turn to what? Kwanga choyagala swala. If you tell Bruce, you'll be like, Bruce, oh no, insisobula mugamba bintu byange. So as a man, you turn to what? To that thing for solutions. You people, it's interesting. Another thing I found out was, I was again looking at how trends are set and all of these things. And I realized that one of the things I learned was the algorithm, that thing which ends up promoting things in your feed, does not connect with human emotions. It connects with the biggest following. Now, that is why it will connect with things that are negative as long as they are, people are looking at them. So you look at one thing one day, for example, a witch doctor in Mukono sacrifices an entire family. It doesn't care about witch doctor, what. If many people in Uganda are surfing that at that time, it's going to now churn out that. So for it, it does not have a filter of what is good for your soul. What it filters is what many people are looking at. So again, you ask yourself, the things that we look at, is this what is really good for my soul? Or have I folded in the algorithm being churned by thousands of people who don't even share my same values? And now I find myself looking at this. Hallelujah. Again, I was looking at something else. I'm here to really talk about, we have to really base, the times are wicked, yeah? And we must go back to the counsel of God and honestly get the manuscript, the hardcover, banang, the hardcover, yeah? Get the hardcover Bible, come with, read it. So I was looking at, again, something else, where someone was saying that the world is really, really rotten. The world has become, anyway, let me leave that. But let me say it. People who are talking about families, and now there is a trend of no contact. Mr. Balo, do you know about that? No contact with your family. So this person, it was actually, they carried out a podcast, and it is trending even right now. It's called the No Contact Life, where when you have a problem with your family member, because they are toxic, what are the words they're being? They are toxic, and then for you, you're described as an intrusive, overwatch, you know those things? You can actually cut them out and maintain no contact for as long as you want. Now, this person hosted, because I watched the podcast, but I was just like, where are we heading? And the people who were there were many than all of us here. Hadn't had contact with a family member. Some were going to 7 years, others 10 years. Like, really no contact. Why? Because they had a toxic relationship with these people. And so my question was, where is the place for sitting down and talking things out? Where is the place of forgiveness? Why do you want to normalize this? Why do you want to normalize estrangement? Initially, estrangement wasn't good. Still not good. It should be something that we get ashamed of. It should be something that when you do it, you feel sorrow in your heart. But for you to say, I am estranged to so and so, Nemukolane podcast, and you're estranged. And now for me as a parent, I'm like, ha, Lord God, have mercy. Because I do not want my child to be one of those people in that podcast. That they are not talking to. Why are you normalizing estrangement? And now, but there was one psychologist who was saying that this is not right. It is not right. It is not good. And it causes people to take the easy way out, cut off the relationship totally. It makes you not even own up to anything. Yes, someone could have been toxic, but must you really cut contact with a parent with that? And some people had their reasons, but others actually, you've realized that you cut off someone for 7 years, supposing they changed in the 7 years, supposing even also you changed, supposing you were wrong to begin with, where is the place to forgive? Anyway, you guys, in all of this, for your relationships, for what? Please let us use the Bible, because it has the whole counsel of God. Amen. Don't use podcasts like that. Now, a young child, you're going through a difficult time with your parents, or you're going through a difficult time with your friends, or a mother, father, family, and you listen to that podcast, and it becomes normal to have no contact with people. That is just not okay. And then here we are preaching forgiveness, forgiveness. And then I realized that all those people who were there, actually, most of them, when they were given an opportunity to talk, I realized that some of them were, not all of them, but some of them were still bitter. Yeah, they were still bitter with the people who are toxic to them. Anyway, for all our needs, for our life on earth, refer to the Word of God. Don't use other books, even if they are bestsellers. Then how else do we teach? We teach by being exemplary Christians. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So another way we teach is by being exemplary Christians. After you have won this Muslim, who was talking about a Muslim, Oria, your Muslim friend, you've won them to Christ, you have hit the jackpot. Yes, now you have converted this soul. And then you call them into LA, the body of Christ, they're even baptized. Now they are going to say, now, teach me the way of a Christian. Pastor Sam, Minister Sam, Mr. Sam, teach me the way of a Christian. There are some things about Christianity you cannot teach. You can only teach by living them. Glory to God. All else will be just smoke. You're going to say things if you're not living that the Christian life. If you're not living righteousness, it's just smoke. So we teach by actions. Remember, monkey see, monkey do. And so... monkey see, monkey do. So we have to live the exemplary Christian life. This is where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to be nice to people. We have to be kind. We have to be courteous. Yeah? When I was working in the bank, I remember sharing that testimony here. For me, it really touched me. It wasn't a testimony, but that experience. I was working with a colleague of mine who was also born again. But because I grew up from a family where greeting people in the morning wasn't a big deal, for us, we would wake up in the morning, no tumble. You just go. You know those siblings who they send? You go call your sibling for food. You just go when you're chewing like this. No muitako. Namanyante mere ide. That is how we used to call each other. And you know, growing up with boys, by the way, for me, I'm telling you for a fact, that is how we used to call. In fact, my siblings, we used to call each other like when it would be time to eat food, you would go and say, "Twagala kulya." We were told to call someone. It is, "Please come and eat." But you don't go to someone and say, "Twagala kulya." Why are you assuming? Why are you even saying the negative, the "sagala kulya"? You are supposed to call, "Tokwenda kulya." Eh? How was I supposed to know that even food was ready? But that is how we used to call ourselves. "Twagala kulya." Or sometimes breakfast is ready, someone passes and they are chewing. Yeah. I'm like, I even tell my children, "Man, you go, don't call people like that. Don't go with like a sausage in their mouth like this. And they are supposed to see and know that breakfast is ready. You go and say, breakfast is what? Is ready." And for crying out loud, don't scream their name from downstairs. Because growing up, that is what we used to do. We didn't have a downstairs. The house was small. But we used to call so-and-so, "Posho is ready." That is how we used to call ourselves. "Posho is ready." Then you know that it's time for what? For lunch. But you know, we have to really be good to people. Be courteous. And these are simple things. But when we talk about living or the life of righteousness, you may think we are only referring to sin. But it is those small things of being to be able to do. So anyway, going back to my story of my friend. So because for me, that is how I grew up. So it was normal. It was very normal for me to go and work. We are seated together. We are in the treasury. You will control, Mr. Balo. So tulimu treasury. You know treasury. You're in a room full of money. You're only what? Two people. The whole day. And it's in the basement where you may not even, you go in the morning, you may not even come up. You may come up like once to the ground floor, yeah, in the day. But the whole time you're in the basement, you're only what? Two people. So for me, I would come in the morning. Hey, bring the Uganda shilling. She was counting the foreign currency. Me, I was in charge of the UGX. Hey, bring. You open the chikage, you watch, you count, you start. Then, but I was okay. I never hated her. I was really fine. Yeah, we sign things. And Kabozi goes on like normal. But then, one time she told me, I heard from someone, she had confided in someone else, how I don't like her, how I'm very impossible to work with, how I'm like, but what have I done? Like, it took me by surprise. When I was told that I'm impossible, I'm difficult to work with, I asked why. Why did she say that? Because I'm not rude. I've been there for her. And that time she was pregnant. I was like, is it because she's pregnant? Does she have a pregnancy hormones chewing her? Like, what's going on here? And I was told that because I was not greeting her in the morning. Yeah. I would just come for her greeting. Was such an integral part of the what? The day. And so the more I thought about it, I realized that there are some people, by the way, who leave their homes. Not say you shouldn't greet people. Nobody has greeted you. You leave your home, you go back, and nobody even said good morning. But these things are, you can laugh at it, but it's true. It is, what's the time? Time check. Coming to a quarter past midday. Do you know that some of you haven't been greeted this morning? Yes, some of you haven't been greeted. And even parents, inclusive, the kids. That is why when I show up, I also show up like this. When they don't greet me, I first go back. And I'm like, you haven't seen me? Nenkwe simba mao. Yeah? And then you hear the children say, morning. They come in chorus, morning, 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 mommy. Yeah? Yeah, and I say, good morning. Yeah? And such small things. Like greeting someone. You can fail soul conversion, my friend. You haven't been greeting people. Yeah? Your neighbors, where we stay. Now we are such a nuclear family that greeting people becomes even intrusive. But you should greet people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You should greet people. Hallelujah. Not just in church. That is why when you find service leaders, greet your neighbor, because we don't take it for granted. The world has become so wicked that people don't even greet each other. Did you greet your neighbor? First greet, call your neighbor there. Tell them you're welcome in the presence of God. Good. Yes, we should greet people. We should greet people. Rubani, good morning. Good afternoon. Yes, I realized nobody was greeting Rubani. Good afternoon. Yes. So we should greet such simple things. Extend courtesies to people. Be kind. Hallelujah. Yes, be kind. Mulokole tuchimanyi, you're fasting, you're what? You're believing. But be kind. Yeah, don't say mananga, I was even about zozo. Be kind, just say good morning. Yeah, you're having a tough day. When someone greets you, answer them and be audible. Yes, the other day I had, I was with my son somewhere and we were walking. Then a young child came. You know, he was there, walking. Then like a child like this comes and says, hi, Kwezi. The guy didn't even look. He said, hi. I told him, come back. On my watch, he knows your name. First of all, for me, I'm like, how does this child even remember Kwezi when he left the school? Then Kwezi told me, mommy, I answered. I'm like, I didn't hear you. I'm like, then his rebuttal was, you want me to call him back and I greet him? I almost told him, call him back. But I was like, okay, Kale, yeah, but you understand what I'm saying. When they greet you, yeah, don't say those things. Elijah, Banangi, we know the voices, they get stuck. But please take a muko so that someone hears that you have answered. Because you by the way, it passes off as a sign of rudeness. Because when you talked, the voice stayed in the belly. Yeah? Yeah? You know? Yes, when someone greets you, answer. And answer loudly. Because the person was what? Was loud enough. Glory to God. Yeah? Teenagers, young adults, we know that the voices are in the bellies. But please, when you're greeted, answer. If you don't answer, someone will say, "Opamumbuza tadamu." Then there is that age where children don't want to greet and don't want to be greeted. I'm like, how did we get here? They don't want to greet and they don't want to be greeted. I remember that age very well because nange nakaitamu. But my challenge for me was what? The kneeling. Because as a teenager, you're like, that old lady in church, she likes to be knelt for. And now, first of all, she's not going to accept me. Everyone who greets, you have to what? To kneel. So as a teenager, I think 14, there was that old lady who even assured me. We would not want to cross her because crossing her would mean you have to greet. If you don't greet, when you greet, you have to kneel. And then also, my background, I come, you know, yeah, we don't kneel. We kuchumita what? Buhoro. So, I didn't want to greet that lady. But I learned a long time ago. Nze no kungamba, you and put on a gomesi and we go soul winning. I'll wear the gomesi. If it means kneeling, just kneeling. Just kneeling. Yeah? Glory to God. So, I even kneel. By the way, I kneel for my father-in-law. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I kneel for my father-in-law. But there are people, when I'm there kneeling, they is here and they bambuka. Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. Nenga, for me, man, I've measured the what? But because I am an in-law in the home, ebyabo ngaye baba kuzasibimanyi, but for me, I will what? I kneel. I go properly, put my whatever, kneel and put the what? The chibega began, he touches. And yes, I go. Because to him, I feel like that really ministers to him. Not so much for me. Mdiwa, now I'm preaching, I'm standing, I'm walking up and down. What has happened to my knees? Absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. So, even us who are old, if you really want to reach people, remember what I said? Reach them the way they are, the way they understand. Glory to God. Tewe simba mbantu. Hallelujah. And by the way, again, children, just for normal etiquette, when you're going to greet old people, don't go, the man is seated. Don't go there when none of them and you just bend. Even if you're a guy, yeah, come down to his what? To his level. Don't be there towering over the what? The person. And then he's like this. You never know how did that person wake up? The neck mate, eh? So many times I keep telling people, come just as in go down. Hallelujah. Yes, go down. Tachikujako anything. We know you are tall. We know we are not going to reduce any inches. Just what? Go what? Go down. Hallelujah. Yes. Older men, you know how to express respect to your fellow, to older people. Rubani, mwabaina height le roba nangi. Yeah? You can't come. You know Rubani is like up to this, whatever, I don't know what this thing is called, yeah? The speaker. Yeah. So imagine whatever, and then Rubani is there. Yeah? And then now for some cultures, because they need to touch the what? The shoulder. How do you expect these people to reach your shoulder, to touch you? How do you expect them? So even old people, do the needful. And because if we don't teach these things, if we don't teach everything the Lord has commanded, we shall fail in soul winning. So anyway, but you know that by your exemplary actions, by your exemplary lifestyle, you can actually win people to Christ, not by doing the big things. People will not know your things of honesty and integrity. But have you heard those people who say, do you have friends who are, you know that your friend is really not a good person. Neighbor to come back to. Eh? And when you hear the testimony that is given about that person, you're like, what? If I wasn't this person's friend, I would say that you're lying. Because these people have learned things like etiquette. When it comes, there are those people, we call them bankunde, bandebe, banjagale. We call them bars. Yeah? Bars. Like bandabe, banjagale, bakole. So, this person, such small things. Say, oh, yomana mulunji. Hey, glory to mwogera ko. Oh, yomana mulunji. Ola babuza, atuwechitibwa, atusavinga, akola bwati, tatu yitako, omukuta mwesimba mu. Nenga for you, you know, glory. But because of such simple things, Christians sometimes lack manners, by the way. They lack the etiquette. And these things are not good. If, for example, you're going to see someone's parent, you're going to see Teddy's parent. Ha! Me, Joanne, I'll be the bar. Yeah? I will sub and nage, what? I'll kneel, what? I'll first get to know he comes from where I'll be. Should I give the shoulder, what? I will do as the situation requires. Glory to God. Yes, but right now, in our day and age, we are short of etiquette. Something that is in short supply, manners and etiquette. We are teaching children, be outspoken. So I say, hey, you, yeah? Children have become something else, which is freedom of expression. My child expresses themselves. But the child is rude. The child lacks manners. The child doesn't. So what if you came and you knelt for someone? So what would happen? You're not going to be struck by lightning. You still remain who you are. So your parents are like, no, my children, I've told them to ask questions. Abange tibabibuza yo. Let me tell you, we are teaching children to ask questions. You find that the parent has to keep justifying themselves to people. So when you leave your child in the company of Mrs. Mujimba or Mrs. Namanya, Mrs. Namanya will be traumatized. Ajagamba, this child, man, baba deba antwala ka good day. Why are you wearing this? Is that nice? Well, let me smell it. Well, you know those children who are like, let me smell it. Oh, you have a nice bag. Okay, let me touch it. By the way, you should have styled the dress like this. You know those children? Because we are teaching children to be outspoken. And that's all right. But we have to give people respect. And you have to, it's a balance. And I'm not saying that our children should not express themselves. But manyanti ono mukulu, and this is what? This is my age mate. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, speaking of teaching children to speak up, there is a time I was in a car. This time I'm not going to mention the child's name. And I made a mistake. I didn't make a mistake on the road. I did something wrong. Instead of going round the roundabout, it was very early in the morning. There was nobody on the road. The other side of the road, if you know our Ugandan roads, waliye binya. This side, this is smooth. And it made sense for me to just go, zwikat through the roundabout. But yet, I was supposed to actually go round. Meanwhile, Tulo is on my case in Vuga, but I'm believing the mercies of God to reach. So I step on it. I cross through. Mama nyabo. The child started, what? What did you just do? What did you just do? How come you just crossed over? If the police was there, could you have done this? You know, I was like, then out of anger, I told this child, I did that for the same reason. You don't follow instructions. Because the child first asked me, why did you do that? Is it right? Then I told the child, no, it wasn't right. And I shouldn't have done that. But the child didn't stop there. Man, it was an interrogation, what? Why did you do it? If the police was there, they could have stopped us. How could you do that? I'm like, hey, I said, excuse me, it is for the same reason you don't what? You don't follow instructions, also you. Now, it's for the same reason. So as we went on, I had the task of actually separating the two things. What I had done from the way the child was addressing me. You realize that when an older person, young adults who are here, when they make a mistake, the way you correct them. The Bible tells us, even as young women, do not correct an old person a certain way. Don't. There are some things I cannot do for me. Even if, especially people who are older than you, even if it is my pastor, even if it is the people here in the church, I will not correct them a certain way. I can't reprimand them like the way you reprimand a child. You have to go and say, you know, sir, you know, we were thinking. You have to be courteous. You have to be respectful. But for a child, you can say, you, if I did. So that morning, I had the task of separating the two things. Yes, I had done something wrong, but I had to tell the child, look, yeah, I am older. You don't talk in that tone. You don't interrogate me like that. Okay? So, yeah, we teach, we learn. Glory to God, children. Glory to God, young adults. You don't just there be there speaking up. And now, young adults, mama, you know, two get a call. And you're there in your phones. I've told you, internet. We can get all those what? And you're there. Oh, you're talking. It's like as if, but how could she do this? How could he do this? That. Those things are not what? They are not good. They are really not good things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let us live exemplary lives, and particularly today, I am intentional on the small acts. I am intentionally talking about etiquette, manners, how to behave in public, all those things. Not the big things that you know, because I'm not going to tell you do not murder. Who are you going to murder here? I'm not going to tell you do not what? No, I'm just telling you normal etiquette that is going to give you an inroad to someone. Greet them. Be kind to them. Give them a what? A seat. The other day I was telling someone that nowadays, as parents of nowadays, the child comes, Daddy, I am tired of standing. I'm tired of what? So you want me to move for you? And you sit. So, and then parents of nowadays, of course, you see the parents standing and the child what? Sitting. And sometimes I'm like, there is a thin line. You have to, you must balance. We have to balance. Mr. Balu is saying, no. We have to what? We have to balance some of these things. The child is there playing, high on sugar, swimming, what. And now they come. Meanwhile, there are many seats. They could even bring for themselves a seat and they join you. But they come. Daddy, mommy, I am tired. Tired. Do you know I was tired last week? I was tired giving birth. I was tired a long time ago. So for me, this is my seat. But I can't see it. Just go and get yourself a seat and come bring it here. But if I won't even do you the courtesy of getting for you the seat. Mr. Balo is saying sit down. Even down is a place. Yes. Kegan and Kyle, don't ask mommy. Man, she carried you for all those years. She earned her seat. She earned 10,000 seats. So, first look around. Yeah? Look around, see what. Go and ask her, where can I get a seat from? But don't go and say, mommy, I am tired. You're even high on sugar. Yeah? I am tired. Yeah? You can. No, I'm saying. Now, Desha is saying, is it your home? Yeah? So. You can even ask a waitress. You can ask, ask someone, yeah? But don't go there expecting. And fathers, don't just move. But nay, father, sometimes me, I want to go and say, stay. I came here to be with you. The child has come, Akunzi Jeko. Does the child know my issues? Me, I want to be with you. Katuondekero, no. Ewochimanyi. I'm talking, yes, the ladies are backing me up. Yeah. Meanwhile, in all this, I went through a lot to book the seats for you. What did I tell you? everyone who comes, is this seat occupied? Yeah. Is this seat occupied? Yes. The person is coming. Mr. Isaiah talking on the phone. Yeah. Yes. But I told you to do this. And I'm like, hey, come. Then, now the moment we sit like this, I'm happy. I'm seated with my husband. Then the child comes. Daddy, I am tired. The math is not mathing. Anyway, they don't ask me, but the math is not what? Mathing. They can't. Then, the bit of observe, please, Matthew 26. Observe all things that I have commanded you. Again, this reminds us that this is a command. The Great Commission is a command. Discipling nations is a command. It is not a suggestion. So now we are saying, teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. Observing things means to keep and to honor the things that Christ Jesus has taught us. We must charge people to live by Christ's teachings. We must charge people. We must command them to live by. That is why they were called the Ten Commandments. Okay? They were not 10 suggestions. They were not 10 if you feel okay. They were not 10 on your good day things to do. They were not 10 if your neighbor is not toxic things to do. No. They were 10 commandments. Glory to God. And so we have to move ulingeli every time to actually charge people to live by the things Jesus Christ told us to live by. Glory to God. They have to keep them, to keep and honor them. Now, here in LATU, we are very big and unapologetically big on obedience. But I realize I will talk about obedience to those instructions, specific instructions that God has given us. But the Bible has many instructions that we have to live by every day. So if God tells you to do something on a personal note, like if he tells you, okay, go here, invest in this, do this and this and this, and you obey that immediately, why don't you take that same obedience in the everyday things if you're locally in righteousness? As in, my point is, the instructions in the Bible, we should obey them as if we are obeying that only one instruction that God gave you and you heard clearly through a dream. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there is no day where obedience is on leave. For as long as you are a Christian, we wake up in the morning just in time to obey. Go to bed and sleep, wake up in the morning just in time to obey, to keep and honor the things that God has told us. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So as we look forward to our soon coming King again, spreading the gospel, the good news, becomes urgent. The rapture is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back. We must spread the gospel. Hallelujah. We must teach. Okay? We are going to read this scripture together, all of us, from 19 to 20, so that you take it as your charge today. Don't read it to your neighbor. Read it to yourself, yeah? And this will be your charge. As we leave church today, this week, let this be your charge. So you're going to read together with me. Again, Sam told us, let's use our voices. Amen? Yes. So 1, 2, 3, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So this is our command. We are going to do it with our lips, with our actions, with everything that we have. Amen. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.